You seem hungry. Good thing your table is ready with Fatterday Omaha.
Fatterday Omaha.
Eat this.
Well, hey, this is Dave with Fatterday Omaha, and I am sitting in studio today to bring a voice to you that he was actually my second guest on the show ever, and that is Universal from Best Burger. Universal, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good, bro. Thanks for having me back, man.
Oh, absolutely, and I love it when the guest voice sounds even better than mine. You sound fantastic, my friend.
I appreciate that.
Oh, so good. So we got a chance to talk kind of before the doors opened in studio today, kind of about where things are and whatnot. And before our conversation today, I actually went back and listened to our original talk from 2020, so way back pandemic-y type times.
I enjoyed that.
It was awesome. And I truly thank you to this day for opening the doors of Best Burger to let us talk, because at that point, it was such a new thing for the show, and you know, we didn't have it like refined or anything, and just like to connect with you and be like, hey, can I come and record in your shop? And you're like, yeah, come on in.
Yeah, it was a great experience, bro. I appreciated you even asking me.
For sure. And when I listened back, you had only been open 3 months at that point when you and I got a chance to talk.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
And so then you were in a different spot, and because of the pandemic and those things, I think you're just doing curbside only at that point, right?
Yeah.
So things have changed. What is the current location? And tell me a little bit about how you decided to make the move and how that was spinning up the new location versus the other one.
Okay. Yeah, it was a couple reasons. We're in 2112 North 30th Street inside the Highlander building.
Oh, yeah.
They have a dining hall in there with Big Mamas.
Shout out to Big Mamas.
Yeah, definitely.
Hi, Gladys.
Yeah, appreciate you so much. A lot of the reason we moved was just because of, it's a few reasons. We needed different equipment.
Yeah.
So they had everything was like modern. They had the grease traps and the hood ventilation system. So it was that piece.
Yeah.
And then also I grew up maybe 3-4 blocks south of where that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was like a real big thing to me.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was a lot smoother because in the Florence location, we had to build everything out.
Mm.
And it was like very stressful and everything was going like so fast.
Yeah.
And like, in this location, everything, it was like just turnkey.
Awesome.
So it was sweet.
That's cool. So a little more space. You could expand your menu, do whatever you needed to do.
Yeah.
And the Highlander is such a good building. I mean, you got Hardy Coffee downstairs. You got Big Mama's. You got Best Burger there. Dina's Place if you want a beverage.
Definitely.
And a lot more space for your diners too, which is very,
yeah,
very
cool.
Yeah,
that's the main thing. Yeah, it's like it's a full space, nice patio.
Yeah.
Like everything is new.
Yeah.
You know, so in our first location, we were kind of limited to what we could do.
Yeah.
So it's just been a lot better.
Well, for people that haven't been introduced to Best Burger, there aren't a lot of, you know, hamburger specific spots in the North Omaha area. I mean, we got some other great restaurants out there for sure. I mean, Big Mama's, obviously.
Right.
You got Time Out Chicken. I saw that Jim's Rib Haven is back open again after the fire. But you've got one of the only, like, burger spots. So what was the impetus for starting Best Burger in general? And it sounds like part of the idea of the location was that's where you grew up, about 3 blocks from where you are right now.
Yeah, yeah. The reason that I wanted to do it, growing up, on North 24th Street, it was like a bunch of diners everywhere. It was like 3 or 4 diners. And my grandfather would take me every Saturday to a different diner.
Yeah.
It was like our tradition. And they always had great, like, fresh hand-patted patty burgers, you know. And it was a point where I noticed that when you go into a place, that was gone.
Oh.
It was replaced with the frozen patties.
Got you. Okay.
You know, so I just... To me, it was an opportunity to give something that just wasn't really there. Like you said, it's a lot of great restaurants.
Yeah.
A lot of soul food and stuff like that. So I just seen something that wasn't there.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is, you know, let's do it.
Also, your new spot is kind of close to Cajun Kitchen.
Cajun Kitchen is like my favorite.
Are they still rocking it over there?
Yes, they
okay.
are.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Cool.
See, and actually, I'm glad you know Cajun Kitchen because that's the street I grew up on.
Oh, just right there.
Right there. I used to walk right across.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, you have a creative menu. I'm assuming the cheddar under Swiss is still, you know, one of the.
That's one of the favorites, yeah.
Gotta be. How has the menu evolved and changed? You know, we talked about Big Mamas, and I know you like to collaborate with other local people.
Yeah.
Ryan Berry from Willy Dogs kind of has this phrase that I pulled from him a little bit called hyper local, which is like local investing in local, which, you know, the Highlander's kind of that way. It's a locally focused building. But yeah, how has the menu changed from like, hey, our original spot to what is the current spot?
Well, a lot of the changes are, number one, we didn't have fryers.
Oh, yeah.
In the first location.
Oh, because you just had chips then, right?
Yeah, we had chips and the sweet potato fries.
Right.
We bake them.
Oh, okay.
And that was part of the hood ventilation system thing. So now we have French fries, like regular potatoes. We still have the sweet potatoes.
You gotta.
We added chicken sandwiches.
Nice.
To the menu. We do... meatball subs because I make a great tomato sauce.
Oh, I haven't even had those. I didn't even know those were there. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because see, a lot of the things we do just kind of do seasonal.
Yeah.
You know, so just to kind of keep it fresh and keep changing it up, I kind of got into my bag a little bit and I started going back to making jams, making fresh jams.
Wow.
So that's like something I learned as a child, you know, because both of my grandmothers were cooks.
Nice.
Like, so we made jams because Idle Hands or the Devil's Workshop.
Sure, sure.
So we did crafts and yeah, all of that type of stuff. And I just pulled on that. And now that's something that's one of the products that we sell to other places. Want to give a big shout out to Made in Omaha.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they always support us and their support is invaluable. So it's like things like that is that's the main things that we've added.
And Made in Omaha offers a lot of different local goods, right?
Yeah, local craft products.
That's cool. And so I didn't even know that. So you have jams and things that are available there.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
We have our seasoning. So we have like our original burger seasoning.
What?
And then a spicy version.
Yeah.
And we have a pear pepper jam and our apple cinnamon jam.
Whoa.
And then I'm working on doing our fry seasoning because so many people always ask me, what's the fry seasoning? It's no salt in it. It's just different herbs and spices and, you know.
Oh. I love it. Yeah. Well, when we were talking to Gladys at Big Mama's, because Big Mama's also offers their seasoning.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
It's like, wow, you can get Big Mama's or Best Burger at your house, kind of, if you want
right,
to pick up
right.
on that. And I like the no salt option, too, because a lot of people watch the salt in their diet. And when you and I had talked so long ago, I think you're kind of, you know, mentioning that is quality in food. Food that's thoughtfully produced with, you know, healthful ingredients and things like that as much as you can, of course. So.
Yeah, yeah. That's real big to me because I'm just old enough. Like, I'm an 80s baby. So I remember getting chickens and cutting up the parts.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really remember just buying chicken legs, drumsticks until I was older.
Yeah.
And it's like we're so far removed from the food chain.
Mm.
It's very important to me that we know where this food is coming from.
For sure.
You know, like to be able to say, what did this cow eat? What was its experience in life?
Yeah.
I know it might sound weird to some people to think about.
Sure, sure.
But that makes a difference, you know?
You bring up a great point with chicken too, and even how chicken was raised versus maybe a mass produced where it's like, we're going to grow this thing super fast and super big so we can get
right.
it to market versus a chicken that might have spent time outside in grandma's yard and ate the things that a chicken naturally eats. Right. And it tastes different and probably tastes a little better when it has a little time. So,
right.
Yeah.
And it's so hard though, because like we offer the grass fed beef.
Oh yeah, for sure.
For that reason. But some people are so programmed to what we always have in a grocery store.
Oh, for sure.
They don't want grass-fed beef.
They want that corn-fed flavor they want or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes I think they just don't know. So
sure.
I take responsibility for that, as in it's my job to tell you why I use grass-fed beef.
Ah, uh-huh.
You know, so it's like a chance to try kind of, I don't want to say educate, but,
sure.
You know.
I think it's great to share that knowledge in the Omaha and the Nebraska area. We're big corn state and people are like, ah, yes, corn-fed beef. And I love corn-fed beef too. But hey, maybe you want grass-fed beef. And here's why.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And we have a great supply of grass-fed beef as well.
Yeah.
In Nebraska and yeah. Kansas. And, you know, it's just another option.
So the menu now, so got the burgers because it's best burgers. You got to have burgers. You got the chicken going. You've got the meatball subs, the jams, and the sweet potato fries. So they're more like a larger wedge, right? They're not a tiny shoestring.
Right, right. They're actually like we get the sweet potatoes, cut them up, soak them.
Oh, so all in-house cut.
Yep, every day.
I told you this a long time ago, but I'm going to bring it out here now because people may not heard this. You made me like sweet potato fries. Like, that is no lie. They're so good and delicious.
I appreciate that.
Oh, for sure, man. Absolutely. Yeah. Got to give you points for that. And I like that larger cut on there is kind of good.
Yeah, too, so. Yeah. I like them. You know, it's one of those things. It was kind of born out of necessity.
Oh, got you.
Actually, because I wrote down everything that Best Burger has now was a part of the original plan.
Oh,
like okay. I wrote down all of these things. Sweet potato fries was not on there.
Oh,
so in our location, and we can only offer chips. And I'm like, well, somebody's going to want fries.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought about it, and I'm reading over the state laws.
Sure.
I'm like, well, we can have confection ovens. We can't deep fry, but we can have confection ovens. We can bake sweet potato fries.
Uh-huh.
And people just liked them.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're more popular than the traditional fries now.
Were there any other adjustments you had to make when you had the smaller place or maybe like things that weren't yet on the menu because you had the smaller spot?
Yeah, actually the meatball subs and the spaghetti sauce and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we couldn't cook it in there.
Yeah.
So that's like the main thing. And the jams also.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
I wanted to do the jams, but it was just like the space and what we were able to do. That was a big part of why we left, because I love Florence and the people in Florence were great.
Sure.
You know, I really didn't want to leave, but it was just, it got to the point of, you know, $80,000 to install a grease trap and, you know, $150,000. It's like, I'm just a regular working person.
Right?
Like, I don't have that kind of money. Like,
yeah, right. You had to get a space that fit your ultimate vision of the business
too. Yeah. So that you can do everything. Because, you know, you're competing,
sure.
You know, with the likes of a McDonald's and Taco Bell.
Right.
And people are used to things being a certain way as far as speed.
Right.
And just something that they're familiar with.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you can't really compete with that, you got to have at least the equipment. And that's a challenge in North Omaha.
Yeah.
Because if everyone who wanted a restaurant in North Omaha were able to get one,
mm-hmm.
there's not enough room. There's not enough spaces for it.
Uh-huh.
So we lean like more modern kitchen space.
Yeah. And in the initial location, was it curbside the entire time just to go take out? Okay, so it never had a table in the original spot.
Well, we bought tables.
Right.
But we just couldn't
use them.
Yeah, we couldn't use them. The space was too small.
Yeah.
So it would end up being like only three people could come in, which actually, it kind of worked out because in my mind, I don't know if anybody has been to Chicago and they have like the Polish sausage stands and you just walk up to the window and you grab your food.
Yeah.
That's how I envisioned it.
Gosh.
Like, actually, honestly, I envisioned it like we have three options.
Uh-huh.
It's like a single, a double, cheese, no cheese, fries.
Right. Just straightforward. Here it is.
Yeah.
What's the current cheese loadout? Like, what are your choices on a
okay,
Best Burger?
We have
now?
Munster cheese, Havarti, Gouda, cheddar, Swiss, and a classic American cheese.
That's awesome. So your cheese choices is likely available. So another thing that kind of sets it apart from just like, you know, nothing wrong with some American cheese on a burger. I love it. But it's nice. It's like, I can get some Gouda on a burger?
Yeah. I mean, Gouda is great on a burger. And you
heck
might
yeah.
come, in, especially in the summertime, we might have feta cheese, provolone.
Oh, nice.
Like, we kind of switch it up.
Just switch it up a little bit. That's cool. So the original location, was that was your very first restaurant that was yours, right?
Right.
Was that also the first restaurant that you worked in, or did you work in prior spots before you opened your own?
It's the first restaurant that I worked in outside of fast food.
Okay. So you had a little bit of experience.
Yeah. I worked, like, you know, teenager, I worked in
sure.
McDonald's and Gotcha. Hardee's. I think Hardee's was like my first job other than a paper route.
So at Best Burger, in the initial location, it kind of worked out well that you had the takeout thing going because it was 2020. Times were a little tougher there. Eating in wasn't really a thing. So I'm guessing you probably learned a lot about how to do takeout well, you know, and I'm assuming that's kind of helped, you know, keep the takeout side of the new spot going, although there's plenty of dine-in space also. That's cool. And if I recall, you usually pack the condiments and stuff separate from the burger so that way your bun and stuff doesn't get mushy and stuff when you get home.
Yeah, definitely. So it doesn't get mushy by the time you get home. And also, my light mayo and your light mayo is different.
Good call.
You know, that's to me, it's always been a challenge.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, we just kept that.
Got you.
Like, you put your own ketchup on it.
That makes sense. Now, do you do the same thing at the restaurant or do you have it fully prepared? Okay, so condiments on the side so people can regulate their amount of mayo or ketchup.
Yeah. Well, the exception would be like our Hello Sunshine burger is like our beef sausage that we make in-house.
Ooh.
And it comes with our pear pepper jam.
Uh-huh.
So we put the jam on there. And
gotcha.
The mustard mash comes with the jam also. Nice. So we put it on there.
So we talked about the cheddar under Swiss. Is that still probably the most like popular burger?
With our original people, it is. But like the Bold and Blazing,
ooh,
it's like a pepper jack cheese, crunchy onions, crunchy jalapenos, and our house made spicy barbecue sauce.
Ooh,
that's like the number one now.
That's awesome.
And then like maybe the mustard mash because it's like a double patty. So
got you.
I think that people underestimate. You know, because we don't freeze our beef. So when I'm telling you it's 5 ounces, it's 5 ounces. It's not 5 ounces frozen and then I cook it. It's 5 ounces. So if you get a double, it's 10 ounces of beef.
You're getting close to a pound right on a sandwich there.
Yeah. So it's different.
What all sauces are you making in-house? It sounds like you got a lot going there.
It's getting a lot. We have our garlic aioli. The spicy barbecue, we have a regular sweet barbecue, and then the two jams, and then our fry seasoning.
You're also doing, I'm assuming you're doing marinara in-house for the meatballs. You're making the meatballs yourself.
Yeah, we make that sauce from scratch.
Wow, and you're making the sausage from scratch, too. What type of seasonings, if you're willing to get that out there, go into the sausage?
I mean, it's real classic. Honestly, you know, sage is like, if you don't know, sage is that's the sausage taste and combined with the meat, you know, and a little bit of salt. And it's just the ratio that you put it to. Gotcha. So it's like I'm very nostalgic.
Yeah.
You know, for the food, the way I used to have it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I wanted to create. This is how it was done before. They did it right. Keep that tradition alive.
If I recall, too, you used to travel up, maybe it was an uncle or your dad, that you guys would, like, drive up to Chicago just because to go eat and then, like, pack a cooler. Is that type of thing still happening?
No, not now. It's not. I was with my stepdad. He passed a few years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, it's been, it's been, like, about 10 years or so.
Gotcha.
And, yeah, that was, like, our childhood thing we would do because he was originally from Chicago.
Okay.
Well, Chicago by way of Mississippi.
Okay.
So, you know, we would just go up.
Yeah.
I love it, man. That was some of the best. That's why I know all the cool music and all of that good stuff.
So besides the new spot in the Highlander, which people definitely go check out that dining area because it's super nice, great place to sit. Plenty of parking, which is good because the older location didn't have quite as much parking over
right.
there.
Right, and I used to worry because people speed in that area.
But yeah, you also have taken on a food truck on top of that.
Yeah.
How did that happen and how did you get that going? Tell me about that.
Because I'm crazy. I'm kind of crazy. And it just made sense because a lot of our customers are repeat customers.
Mm.
So when we moved, it would be people who I saw every week.
Yeah.
And then now I only see them once a month.
Ah.
So I just talked to them in conversation and it would be that they live on 177th and Ford.
Ooh, okay, yeah.
And in the old location, they can just catch the interstate, get off, and turn around. And now it's kind of more out of their way.
Sure.
So I wanted to be able to have access to more of the city and be more flexible.
Yeah.
So, you know, the brick and mortar is great, but it's just stuck right there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people in the city don't really have a reason to come to this part of town.
Ah, got you.
So it's like I'll just go to you.
Yeah.
And it was a great process. We found a place. We had it built out to the way we liked it.
Uh-huh.
And we just went for it.
I was out and about last night, and I saw the best burger truck over at Pint 9 in Papillion. I was like, I'm going to talk to Universal tomorrow. And like, there he is. So that's cool, because you can get best burger closer to, you know, some different whatever neighborhood you want to go to, because you got the truck, you got the trailer.
Yeah, so. And we go. The support has been amazing. I love everybody that's had us out, because we go to schools, different businesses. Cool. A lot of the local breweries have been, they're our original supporters as far as the food trailer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they invited us to come. Like Pint 9, we've been going there since we got the trailer.
You know, beer and a burger's been
It just works. Fries,
man, it just works. Yeah,
no doubt. I've been trying to convince them, somebody to make a signature beer with me. So if somebody hears this to.
Oh, yeah.
Because again, I'm crazy, and let's make a beer.
All right.
Let's make a best burger beer.
When you went to the food truck, so you had the original drive-up carry-out thing. Then we went brick and mortar, so now you've got sit-down and carry-out. Now you went food truck. Did you have to change any of your processes, or what were the trickiness that you had to figure out going from, oh, I've got a standalone kitchen, to now I'm standing on this trailer?
Yeah, you're right. Everything changed. We had to I had to reevaluate the whole process.
Oh.
Because we were doing festivals and things like that, to where there's 50 people in line.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
And there's competition right next door. So you don't want people to have to wait too long.
Sure.
So, like, one of the main things I did was we dropped the fryer completely. Just because the size of the fryer that we had.
We couldn't keep up.
Yeah. Like, I can cook 25 burgers at once.
Yeah.
I can only do 8 batches of fries.
Oh, man. It's like that old hot dog principle where the hot dog's packages of 8 and hot dog buns come packages of 10. It never matches up. Got you.
Exactly. So, it's like you have 10 people waiting. They're all waiting on fries.
Yeah.
So I had to drop that reluctantly.
Sure.
You know, and then just the way that we put the food together.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm the kind of person who I'm good with systems. That's kind of like what I add to the business.
Kind of see patterns and systems.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Like, okay, if we did it this way, it'd be better.
Ah.
So it's like it really challenged that.
Yeah.
And just the elements, like it's a lot different. Geez. There's an air conditioning, but it doesn't compete.
Not with the 25 burger flat top.
And the grease and the pressure. And I love doing it.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, I love doing it. But like you said, we just had to reevaluate and change how we did everything.
Yeah.
And we don't offer everything that's on the menu.
Yeah.
So it's like I kind of pick and choose and maybe make something that, you know, we don't really have on our regular menu. Like, we might have a mushroom Swiss burger just because it's easy.
Sure. So since you don't have the fryer, what's your alternative side to a burger in the trailer version?
We just offer a kettle chip.
Oh, right. Oh, kettle chips.
We just offer Zapp kettle chips.
Oh, those are so good.
Yeah. It's a national brand, but it's very local. Like,
yeah.
The way that they approach it is very local. So nice. It's like, it's kind of hard to get Zapps.
Yeah. You don't see them very often.
Yeah. So that's kind of why I went with them.
Did you guys start with them at the original spot too? Okay. Yeah. Because they have like the voodoo seasoning?
Yeah,
voodoo seasoning. They got some like powerful flavor in their chips.
Yeah.
Or just the regular ones are super good too. So.
Yeah. They have all kind of flavors. So that's why I chose them. Like,
that's cool.
You know.
That's cool. So when you were talking about like processes and things, can you remember one thing that you're like, this is how we did it in the restaurant, but like we need to switch this up a little bit from a process or layout organization perspective?
It changed because the location of the grill in relation to the coolers.
Oh.
It was the opposite that it was in the restaurant.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound like a big thing, but.
Now your left hand's your right hand, kind of.
Yeah. So we had to switch everything and just the way that we take the orders. So a lot of times in the restaurant, we try to cook your order when you're ordering it.
Uh-huh.
And that kind of doesn't really work on the trailer.
Got you.
So we do it. We still do it the same way, but we just had to adjust to be more on the fly, kind of.
Uh-huh.
So like I can have buns sitting here on the cooler side of the grill. They're still toasting.
Right.
You know, but they're ready to go, where we don't do that in a restaurant.
Ah.
So just little things like that.
Was that kind of hard, too, to move to that smaller space? Because I've seen the trailer. It's not like it's 40 feet long.
Yeah, no, it's small.
Yeah, so was that kind of hard to, like, learn or a little bit?
Yeah, it was a challenge. So generally, like, last night it was just me.
Oh, wow, you're rolling solo out there.
Yeah, it was just me last night.
Wow.
And so usually it'll just be me and a cashier.
Uh-huh.
Well, big festivals, it's like a cook, uh-huh. and then it's a person's address.
Sure.
And then a cashier.
Okay.
You know, so that was a big challenge, just moving in that limited space.
Yeah.
And, like, you have to make every move count.
Yeah.
You know, so that's just from experience, though, just dealing with it, you just figure out how to move around each other, and you just have to communicate. Like, if you're in the kitchen long enough, you learn how.
A friend of the show, Emily, who I think is still at Boiler Room downtown, but she had once said that the kitchen dance is like, it's like a sweaty ballet.
Yeah,
you gotta move exactly. around each other in that hot space and make sure you don't, you know, hit each other and whatnot. And so I could see where that coordination, especially when you get three people on there.
Yeah.
Ooh, man.
Yeah, well, see, a lot of times we'll put the I put the cashier outside.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, we got a tent and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's to try cool. to meet the customer and
that's good. You make that personal connection, but you're also maximizing your kitchen space too.
Yeah.
while you're at it. So you've had to adapt to all of these different situations, which, and I won't call you a chef only because you said on our last conversation that I should call you a cook. As a cook,
yeah,
then.
Yeah, I still stick by that. because I respect the time and the effort that you know, it takes to put into something. So, like, I'm not going to just walk around and say I'm a doctor.
Fair.
Just because I'm, like, telling people that, like, sea moss is good or whatever, you know, like, it's
fair
still
enough.
A difference.
Fair
know?
Enough. So I need a, like, cook, owner, operator. That's
yeah.
Those are all things. But probably has made you stronger as a business person, as an owner, operator, because you had to adapt to a pandemic, to I want to do this, but I have no fryer, to now I've got a brick and mortar. How do I do that? And now I'm going to do this on, like, that's got to make you strong. You're multifaceted in your experience, which is very, very cool.
I appreciate that. Honestly, I never thought about that until you just said it just now. Seriously, because it's like once you're doing it, it's like I just want to survive and make it.
Sure.
So it's like that's just part of the road that like what we're doing.
Yeah.
I haven't really reflected. Like it's going to be 4 years that we've opened the restaurant.
Wow. Yeah.
In April.
Yeah.
I haven't really looked at it the same way other people do. Like, they're like, wow, man, you opened in a pandemic. Like,
yeah.
That's so hard. Like, it's like, to me, it's like every day just kept moving into the next day.
Love it.
So it's like, I haven't really, like.
Yeah. You haven't got a time to reflect back. So
much.
You're still moving.
Yeah.
You have pushed through a lot. There's a lot of businesses that didn't make it through the pandemic or the cost of goods just went insane for a while and staffing challenges, which is interesting because you opened up the new spot. Now it's just not you because I know you've got more than one person in there.
Yeah.
So, man, what keeps you going, man?
I wanted to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest all the way. So the amount of like love and support that we get.
Yeah.
Is so much. And like the fact that my family and everyone depends on me to execute.
Mm.
It's like that's a big piece. And then also there's been a consistent group of people who have been negative.
Mm.
And it's like people who haven't had our food. Because if you came to the restaurant and you didn't like it, like I can accept that.
Mm-hmm.
There's people who have vouched that. They've come to the restaurant. They've said, it's not really what I expected.
Okay.
I gave them their money back.
Okay,
if you come and you feel like the sweet potato fries are cooked too long for you, I offer to make you another one or I give you your money back.
Mm-hmm.
I can accept that you don't like it, but if you've never even tasted it,
you've
never even came and you just like don't like it and you make negative comments, I'm the kind of person that I'm not going to get into a back and forth with you.
Sure.
But when I have to get up at 5 a.m. and I went to sleep at 3 a.m., I'm thinking about you, bro. Like, and, you know, like, it's that kind of thing. Like, yesterday, I opened the restaurant 7 a.m. We did the trailer. I worked all night. I haven't been asleep.
I saw you out there.
Yeah, I haven't been asleep yet, you know.
You haven't been to sleep yet?
No, I haven't been asleep yet.
Oh, my gosh,
we're doing a game night tonight. you know. Whoa. So, you know, it's that kind of thing. And that's kind of bad. My grandmother would chastise me for that. But it's just honest, you know, that is honest. Love and the yeah. doubt, you
uh-huh.
know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, bro.
Wow. All right.
My wife's going to get on me for saying that.
We had a guest on the show, Kevin Shin. Awesome guy, awesome chef. I had talked to him about, if you're going to talk to a restaurant about maybe something you didn't like, how do you approach that? And he's like, you need to make sure that you are thinking about preparation versus your preference, right?
Right.
Maybe you thought the sweet potato fries were too salty. Okay, that might be a preference thing. You know, that's different than, oh, hey, my chicken was undercooked. That's a preparation thing, man. It's undercooked, right?
Right.
Either way, though, you go back and you talk to the person at the counter. You're like, hey, this didn't work out well. And like you said, you want Best Burger to be the best. And I'm sure you want to see a happy face on a diner. And so you'll make it right.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, go talk to your business owners. And the other thing is, you know, you got to try a place at least two or three times. You just can't go, hey, it's the one-shot deal and that's it. You know, try a couple of things. Maybe you haven't found that thing that's your favorite. But I know, like you said, that you'll take care of people because you want them to like your food. Because you want those repeat customers. It's in your interest to give them something they like.
Definitely. So. And it's, I would just want people to consider that it impacts, especially local businesses, harder.
Mm.
Because the trend that I see now is that people will come out. If they don't like it, they'll trash you on social media.
Mm.
And they might not realize how much of an impact that has on a smaller business.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, now some things, okay, if you're talking about a customer service issue, if a person is being rude to you,
mm-hmm.
or if I charge your car twice and I act like I didn't or something crazy, you know, okay, that's justified. But now if you just didn't like the food,
mm-hmm.
I mean – I'm not going to say keep it to yourself. You have a right to voice it.
Sure.
But just maybe consider the impact that has. Because if you say, hey, this place right here is great. And I'm like, no, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the way people talk on social media. They're like, it's disgusting.
Right.
And it's just like.
Really?
Yeah. Like, is it? You know, like you can kind of keep that much negativity to yourself because if it's a family owned place.
Yeah.
That really hurts more than like a big chain, you know. It's like KFC is not going to be affected by that because they have millions of dollars in ad money.
You've got a hardworking person like yourself. Like I said, you took time out of your day off, quote unquote, to come in and talk with me here. And in addition to that, I know you're working last night. I saw the trailer out there.
You're great, man. You're good. Bro.
Oh, I appreciate that. But like, people need to understand like the amount of work that goes into just to maintain the business, let alone grow the business, because you are manager. I'm sure you're also ordering things. I know.
I do the shopping.
Do the shopping. I know your partner Ashley helps you out greatly as well.
She's great. She's invaluable. Oh, I love you, babe.
Oh, that's awesome. Shout out to Ashley and thank you for connecting Universal and I yet once again. The heart and soul that goes in there and like you said, the difficulty, because the other thing I see on social media too is that if somebody posts a negative thing, like people just kind of pile on. Like it's like one person says something negative and then it's just like this freight train that gets launched and like it's like, oh my gosh, you know. And if you say something is trash or something, like really? So, yeah, and I can see it where it hurts personally.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's affected me before. Like I've been upset about things that I've read. But then again, I realize the culture on social media, right? Because a lot of times people, they're just trolling. They're just saying something to just get people to like it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just not, maybe not, they're just not aware.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feed into that. I don't really be on social media that much.
Sure.
But it's like that's the type of stuff you have to deal with.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, I don't know, I think that anyone who owns any business, like that's something that they're mindful of is the way that social media can affect your business.
Yeah, yeah. Just in the hospitality industry in general and all over, mental health is a thing. You can take those things personally. So you got to have a thick skin, but sometimes those things get through. And that's got to be hard to handle those things. And especially where the industry is hospitality. It is, I want to feed your tummy, your soul, your smile, your mind. Yeah. And that's the goal. I mean, obviously you want to have a successful business, but you want that to be of the best, and you want that to be something that people enjoy.
I would say 97% of people who are in the restaurant business love feeding people. Mm. They love making people happy.
Yeah.
You know, they love the joy of sitting around with people and sharing food and stories and the experience of it.
Yeah.
And that's why they start doing it. And doing the business, it can make it very difficult because you can burn out and you're trying to make it. And then when people see you there, you have to worry about them seeing you fail as well as them seeing you succeed.
Yeah, because you're out there in front of everybody.
Yeah, everybody sees you. And it's an immense amount of pressure. People, I don't know what it is, but people don't have compassion for small business people.
Mm-hmm.
There's no compassion. They're like, you know, whatever. Like, put the fire under them. Like, it didn't work out. Like,
right.
That's on you, bro.
Right.
You know, and it's like.
Like, really?
Yeah, okay. You know, that's cool, you know, but at the same time, if you're not that kind of person, it's like just kind of be mindful of what a person goes through.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know a lot of people that are in this industry, and not to be dark or nothing, but they have a lot of issues.
Sure.
They end up with alcohol dependency, drug habits, people lose their families.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's a lot that can happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just something that you will want to, you know, a kind word goes a long way.
Maybe that's one of those things, too, where, like, to combat those situations is if you are eating at a place that you do enjoy, go back up to the counter and go, you know what? That was really good.
Yeah.
You know, my poor family, when I cook something at home, they have to always put up with me. Like, how was it? How was it? Tell me about it. Was it too salty? Was it whatever?
Yeah.
Like, I want to know.
And that's what I was talking about. That joy of pleasing people, of being there. Like, you want, if you took me somewhere that was your favorite dessert, you want me to enjoy it.
You 100%.
You know, and that's like the basis of a restaurant. Like,
man.
Most people that I know that have a restaurant, that's how it started.
Yeah.
Like, you go and you talk to a guy who has a barbecue restaurant.
Yeah.
He was like the barbecue pit master in his family. Like,
right.
And then he decided to go into business.
Yeah. You know? Man, I'm so glad you brought that up because I'm pretty sure I have said that this week. But that is one of the things on this show, because sometimes it's a podcast. It's a radio show. It goes out kind of one direction with the exception of the conversation I get to have with wonderful people like yourself. You know, this is nice in two ways. Thank you. And so it's so cool when somebody sends me a message or bumps into me and says, you know what? I tried this place and I liked it. That brings me joy, because you're right. It's that shared thing of, you like the food that I like. This is awesome. And it's such food, like you said, is such a connection point for people in general, for different cultures, for everybody, because everybody's got to eat. And it's so nice to come around the same thing and go, you know what? That's good. Like, I like that like you do. That's
definitely. You know how many people have fallen in love over a meal?
Oh, good point.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, the food is good. The vibe is good. It's like all starts with that. And that's why I appreciate, that's why I would have made the time anytime, bro, for you to come talk with you, because I really appreciate what you do with your show, because it's one thing for me to say, hey, this is great, come. But for someone else to be dedicated to doing that for a lot of people, like, it means a lot.
I appreciate that. I appreciate
that. Yeah, man, I really sincerely mean that, bro.
I love it.
I didn't hesitate. Like, when she asked me, like, I know you got a lot. Do you want to do it? I'm like, well, what is it? For who?
for who?
Yeah, and when she told me, I said, yeah, let's go.
That's so awesome, man. I do appreciate that. And I that warms my heart. Thank you, because it's nice to know that you know, there's a positive impact, you know, going out there, which is fantastic.
Indeed.
That's super cool, man. So what's ever moving Best Burger forward and maintaining, I'll quote you, your craziness, as you said.
Yes, I see.
Where does your mind and Best Burger, like, where are things headed? Like, what's happening?
Well, the idea is to continue to expand the menu.
Yeah.
And to kind of get more, because now we still have a takeout model.
Sure.
Like, as far as our food, I want to expand into different, like, dinner entree, like, options.
So,
like you could come and get a steak or whatnot, you know, and become more family friendly. You know, that's kind of the idea. And I don't know, just to keep going, bro. like keep the products coming.
Yeah. And
I don't know. I honestly, that's the thing that I kind of was talking about earlier, where the moment of making it is like just like that.
Yes.
So yeah. Then it's like what happened is like an opportunity to come up.
Uh-huh.
And then like with the jam, we put the jam and it was a person who comes all the time and he started getting 2 cups of jam. Then he got 3 cups of jam.
Uh-huh.
He was like, man, do you have a bottle? And I'm like, well, I got the bottle that I keep it in.
Uh-huh.
He's like, no, a bottle I can buy.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, come back next week.
Ah,
you know, and then we made a label and got some bottles and we did it like that. And
uh-huh.
Then people just liked it.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that's kind of like how it goes. Like I kind of
just listening for those opportunities or something that sparks your interest.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Because I don't like to chase things in a way, because if you like, I don't know exactly what I'm looking for.
Oh, interesting.
You know, yeah. So if I just chase everything that seems like an opportunity, then it's like I missed what I was supposed to be doing.
Oh, wow. Wow. You know? You don't get a chance to focus or to reflect enough, maybe.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, because it's like a pressure for us to succeed for the sake of succeeding, you know?
Yeah.
It's like if you're in this field, like if you're in real estate, then mm-hmm. it's like, you have to be like, you know, the big dog real estate companies.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's not really what you want to do. You know, it's like this whole get to the money kind of culture, atmosphere type of thing. Like
uh-huh.
the natural thing would say, people would say, well, I want to have 1,000 Best Burgers.
Uh-huh.
You uh-huh. know, but I'm not so sure if that's what happiness looks like for me.
I love that so much because it is so easy to go, hey, it's just the monetary driver, you know,
right.
Oh, hey, my success is I need to make $1 billion, whatever, gazillion dollars, or I need, 100,000 locations, or maybe you want it at its essence, you know, what Best Burger is. And I know Kitchen Table or Block 16, I'm sure, you know, if Block 16,
places.
Oh, good spots. And I'm sure if, you know, Block 16 feels it's right and they can bring the same essence and they want to expand, but maybe they don't. Maybe they just want to focus on that wonderful spot that they already have. And
right.
so, and it's okay if a restaurant wants to expand too, but to your point, is that what you want? Is that what satisfies, you know, your soul, your happiness, being able to bring the things that you want to bring? Because in Best Burger's case, where, you know, you want to be able to provide those different cheeses or those handmade things or the not frozen stuff,
right.
you know, how does that scale if you want it to? And there's only one Universal. So, you know, then you got to think about spreading that too.
Yeah.
So,
and I've been working on making it because we do want to expand and have at least a couple more locations.
Nice.
But like you said, getting those processes together.
Uh-huh.
And being able to still enjoy what I like to do, because like I like really like making the products.
Sure.
And one of the things that I didn't know that I would enjoy would be we employ a lot of high school or like early 20s.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So the idea that we can have be a positive first job experience
mm-hmm.
for people, I really like that. You know, I really like that because I remember when, like I said, Hardee's was my first job.
Yeah.
And it wasn't necessarily a good experience. You know, it was like I didn't really know what to do at the job.
Sure.
Like as far as how to be a responsible and efficient employee.
Yeah.
And there wasn't really a lot of grace given because these are adults.
Right.
And they're like, we're here for this reason.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's like a lot of things that I had to learn on my own.
Yeah.
Whereas like I have the teenagers there and I can be like, hey, bro, smile.
Yeah.
You know, say yes. You know?
Yeah. Connect with your customer.
Yeah, talk to them. Like, don't be afraid of people. You know, you can give those life skills,
oh,
and it's like, that's dope.
That is. How big is the Best Burger staff right now, give or take a little bit?
Well, right now, we're it's probably about 5 or 6 people.
Okay.
But a couple of my best people, like you said, have grown.
Yeah.
And they're starting to branch out and do other things now.
Uh-huh.
So I had to replace them and start over. You
they're
know?
Leaving the nest and you got some new ones in there.
Which I love it. I love to see, you know, because to me, I feel like we provided a safe place
mm-hmm.
for them to explore what was next.
I love it.
You know, because I tell our team a lot, that this is the dream that I'm pursuing, mm-hmm. and you're helping me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can be fully invested in this, too, mm-hmm. but I know it's something that you want to do.
Sure.
So take this time to figure it out.
I love that you're providing a space that sounds like maybe you wasn't available in your first fast food job. And, you know, restaurants classically haven't always been a place that has felt safe. I mean, there's a lot of really great restaurants that do have a good literal family, but, you know, sometimes the scheduling or...
Yeah, it's a tough industry.
Man, it's tough.
It's tough, man. Yeah. Like I told you, I went to culinary school in Job Corps,
uh-huh.
Clearfield, Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And the preparation, we cooked for the campus.
Oh, wow.
It was 3,600 people.
Holy on smokes. Campus.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So, like, your first couple days, you're in class, then they throw you in the kitchen.
Oh, man.
You know, and it's like, do this, like that, do it. You know, it's very demanding.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, yeah. Yeah, hence why I show respect to chefs.
Oh, man.
Because they went through that process. And I was like, I think I'm going to get a manufacturing job, bro.
Oh, man, that's cool. Well, and as that business owner, I love that you can kind of mold it how you want it to be. My observation is the setup that you are trying to create for your team, for your people, reflects how you want to produce the food. In other words, you want a happy, positive environment for the people, and you want happy, positive by way of good preparation, good ingredient choices, and things like that for your diners. And that all kind of fits together in the best burger, like, globe, man. Of goodness.
What I feel like has been lost in the pursuit of money.
Mm.
Classic American integrity in business.
Wow.
That's what I grew up
seeing.
You knew that if you came to this person's establishment,
uh-huh.
they were going to give you the best product that they had.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to do it in a way to make you feel special, respected, seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they valued your business. And it's like, in the pursuit of money,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have to throw some things out the window. And that's one of the things I feel like is being thrown out the window. So that's why, you know, we do the things the way that we do it. You know, that's one of the reasons that I said Best Burger, because it's the best product that we have to offer. I know a lot of more experienced restaurants who have been around, mm-hmm. they kind of took offense to that from what I have been told.
Mm.
And it wasn't a shot at other people.
It's just what you wanted.
Yeah, it was like, I'm producing, this is the best product we can produce.
Mm.
And it's just, I mean, Best Burger, good alliteration.
Absolutely. Right? If people want to find the best burger from Best Burger, what's the best place to find the restaurant? What's the best place to keep up with you on social and those type of things?
Okay, everything is Best Burger across all social media. Our website, bestburgeromaha.com. You can book the trailer, book catering jobs, see where our products are, where the trailer will be. And our brick and mortar location is inside the Highlander Dining Room Hall. It's 2112 North 30th Street. And you park on the Patrick side. Mm-hmm. So it's Patrick Street.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
there it is. And by the way, if you think that's out of the way, there are two interstate exits that are real close.
Yeah.
So it's like Hamilton and Lake are both on either side, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I know that people who are a little older, this part of the city has a certain stigma. Things are different now.
Well said.
You know, things are different now. The people in the neighborhood have grown. Businesses have grown. It's not necessarily the dangerous part of town,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
the same way it was stigmatized in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very welcoming. There's all kind of people. Mm-hmm. That's always been North Omaha. It's always been all kind of people.
Mm.
Everyone's welcome. It's not something that people should be afraid to come to. Now, if you're just not in that part of town, make a special trip.
Absolutely.
You know, when you're around, come by.
Yes.
And I'm sure that you'll find something that you like.
100%. 100%. And I mean, in the Highlander, like we said at the beginning of the show,
You got Hardy Coffee downstairs. Great local coffee. Right? So good.
They roast their own beans fresh.
Yeah. And they have a great bakery in there,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. You've got, you know, Big Mama's and Best Burger, which are right next to each other. You can go definitely see Gladys there. Or
get
Universal.
The wings.
Oh, I haven't had the wings. I just usually get the two piece. So
yeah, the wings. They have all the different flavors.
Oh, okay.
Like lemon, garlic, pepper, and. Oh. They have the hot, and they have sauces, and oh yeah, it's delicious.
Man, making me hungry. It's oh man, for sure. So and totally agree with you that especially that corridor where Highlander is at. My goodness, there's so much awesome new development happening there, which is so encouraging. And you know, parking situation is good, dining situation is good, and all those places would be happy to see you, the listener, your smiling face up there, asking for a burger, for some chicken, or whatever you want to get. So
yeah, come and hang out. People come and do, they do work and they have meetings. And
Universal of Best Burger, thank you so much for coming to talk with me yet again, 3 years after the fact, after initial. It is so encouraging and heartwarming to see you continue to grow, to grab onto those opportunities, and just, you know, keep doing it with heart, man. I appreciate you.
Hey, man. Thank you, man. I appreciate you, man. That means a lot. Like, the very kind words, man. And it's always good to sit with you. And I'm glad that you're still going, bro.
Thank you.
Like, yeah, like, keep going, man. It matters, you know. And I know people enjoy it. I enjoy it. So, you know, I'm just glad that you even thought of us, man.
Well, I appreciate it. And this will not be the last time you and I get to talk, for sure. So,
yeah, definitely.
All right. So stay tuned out there for anything at Best Burger. And please subscribe to our podcast to kind of keep up with all sorts of stuff. But we're gonna sign it off here. So maybe Universal can go take a nap because he hasn't been to sleep and I don't know when. So with that, this is Dave with Fatter Day Omaha. And as we say, until we eat again, stay hungry. Bye.
Our show is recorded and produced by Fatter Day Omaha. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, as well as email fatterdayomaha@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and stay hungry.
Fatter Day Omaha.
Eat this.